This is Bootstrapped Web, episode 60. It's the podcast for you, the founder who learns by doing as you bootstrap your business online. And today we're talking about the process of taking visitors to leads to customers and all the organizations and systems that need to go in place there. So as always, I am Brian.
And I'm Jordan.
So Jordan, looking forward to this one. And so how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, I'm getting ready to go on vacation next week. Very excited. I like today's topic. It's something that I've given a lot of thought to and have set aside time and resources to get done. Maybe it sounds like we're just talking about a sales funnel, but I think what we'll talk about, what people will hear, is that reality is always a little more complicated than the ideal of everything's online, everything's automated, everything can be tracked using Google Analytics, and there are no curveballs.
Yeah,
so that's not the reality.
I mean, it seems so easy. You just plug in Google Analytics and you set up a dashboard, or you plug in Kissmetrics or something like that, and everything just magically falls into place in terms of the sales funnel and those kind of tools help for sure, but there's a lot that goes in between, taking a visitor to becoming a lead and then kind of nurturing that lead and getting them on board. And a lot of it is done manually. And, for a while, I know in my case, and I think a lot of other people out there, it's just kind of like a mess of phone calls and emails and tweets. And like, you're just like, fielding all these different messages, and then you're following up with people whenever you remember to do it. And then you can manually hustle your way to get a couple of customers or a couple of paying clients. But at a certain point you need to kind of reel it all in and get a system in place so that all these messages and things get funneled into a streamlined process. And that's essentially the sales process. So we're going to go through a few different case studies from our experience and kind of break things down and try to figure out that question. How do we get all this organized? But first,
yes.
First, why don't we get into some updates? Jordan, what is new this week?
Well, the only really thing new to, of any note is that I have started moving toward bringing on a co-founder. So I know I'm, about a year into the business, but I think co-founder is still the appropriate terminology, right? This isn't just somebody who I want to hire as an employee. This is someone I want to bring on as a partner.
That's an exciting step.
Really exciting. This is what the business needs. This is what I need, right? This person is technical with experience and is really good at the product side of things. And so what we are looking at is marrying our complementary skill sets, right? I am marketing and sales, and when I focus on product and onboarding and the technical stuff, I'm just not the best person for it. And this person, well, I hope to one day soon be able to talk about names and specifics, but not quite yet, is very good at the product and technical and managing developers, and not as good at the sales and marketing. And both of us have kind of been frustrated in our experiences by trying to do everything instead of focusing on what we're good at. So this really seems like this is what the business needs to kind of get into the next gear. I think about the end of 2015 and where I could get on my own. And yes, I would own more of the business if I did it on my own, but I just don't think I would get nearly as far as if I teamed up with someone with this complementary skill set and gave away a piece of the business. I think I'd still be a lot better off, and so would the business.
Yeah, I think it's very smart. I think from what you've told me about it, the complementary skill sets clearly, and the experience that both of you kind of bring to the table, it definitely makes a lot of sense. So
go faster.
Excited to hear how that rolls out.
Cool. I'll keep you updated, obviously. And how about you?
What are you up to? So let's see. Right now, I'm putting together a quick announcement for a new free workshop that I'll be putting out to my list. And any of you listening, if you're interested, that'll be happening on Thursday, February 26th. It'll be a webinar workshop all about productized services, just kind of taking some of the key lessons and the core concepts from the productized course and also some of the stories from our students. We've had a, you know, like over 100 students now go through the course. So it's been really exciting for me to see, you know, what people are working on, how people are developing, and even some new strategies and concepts that, that are coming together, especially around like combining software with service and that sort of thing. So I'll be talking all about that if you want to join me for about an hour or so. It's happening on Thursday, February 26th, and you can get your spot at castjam.com/workshop. What else? So right now I'm also bringing on a new person to run the sales side of Restaurant Engine, basically handle all the consultation calls, and we'll talk much more about that whole process later in this episode of how that works. But it's kind of excited to bring on someone who's really just going to be focused on that. I have another person on the team who's been doing that, but she's been shifting over into like the customer service side. So it'll be good to kind of separate those roles. And then, you know, I am still planning and thinking a lot about starting this kind of like a new product and planning all the first steps there and basically just figuring out the best way to get into conversations with potential, or at least the target customers. And I got to try to figure out who that target customer is. I have some ideas, but a couple different groups that I want to start speaking to and figure out who is resonating most with this idea so that I can keep it focused. So that would be the first step on that. And it's a little bit hard juggling all these different things at once, but I think I have a good plan of attack in place. It's just, I guess the challenge is finding enough hours and enough days in the week. Yes.
Cool. But, well, sounds like you'll be eating some of the Bootstrap web dog food in validation and reaching out to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm actually, yep. You know, on my... I plan to go back to one of our previous episodes when you talked through your cold email outreach and the validation methods that you've done in the past. So I'm going to definitely revisit those for sure.
Yeah, that's I want to call it dirty work. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's manual, but you're definitely a lot better off for doing it instead
well,
of
you
just
know, the thing
risking
that-
it.
I mean, this idea is something that I've personally been thinking a lot about over the last couple of years and been dying to do it someday. And now I feel like I'm finally going to start working on it. But I just want to get it out of my own head and just start talking to other people. That's, you know, before I do anything else, I just need to talk to people who might also find it valuable. So we'll see.
See if you're on the right track.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. So today's episode and topic really comes from me coming to you and saying, Brian, I have a problem. I'm trying to figure something out. Right. So when we say this is, it's like a business funnel, right? It's not a sales funnel that's online or going from a lead magnet to a nurture sequence to an offer. It's more complicated than that. It's for your whole business. And up until now, it's worked. Whatever I've done has worked because it was just me. So right now, anything that comes in from any source, any lead, whether it's someone emailing me directly or a tweet or a forum post or a free trial without talking to me ever or whatever it is, it just all goes to me. I put it in my CRM and I use one-page CRM, which is great in its simplicity because all it focuses on is the next action. So if it's somebody that just reaches out randomly, I say follow up to see if they're interested, right? Easy enough. If somebody else comes in and starts a free trial, I say follow up tomorrow to make sure, see if they need any help launching their campaign. So it's been simple and it works, but that's not able to handle 30, 40, 50 free trials a month like I'm trying to get to as soon as possible. So you with Restaurant Engine have dealt with this, and that's kind of what I need help on. What do I need to put in place so that I can handle these different sources of leads, these different types of leads, people that go directly to free trial and have it organized so that I can keep pushing on marketing, knowing the leads that I'm driving in are being handled properly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think in the early days of any business or even ongoing for a while, it's so easy to get into this place where you have leads coming in, like whether it's referrals or you have marketing stuff that and traffic that's coming in and you've even got some paying customers and you've been able to kind of hustle them in through your onto your service. You know, it just gets disorganized at a certain point. I know for a while in the first year of Restaurant Engine, everything was just coming through my Gmail. I would just get people emailing requests or questions or interest. And they would just come in as emails in my inbox. And then I would just literally just reply to them. And then I added followup.cc as a way to make sure that I'm reminding myself to follow up with people. And that kind of worked for a couple of months, but then even that got out of hand in terms of, just, you know, leads falling through the cracks and people just not getting that follow up. And then of course the team started to grow. So I needed something that is collaborative and scalable and a systematic way to handle all the new leads that come through. And I guess I shouldn't even say that we have like a totally overwhelming number of leads. Like we have a moderate amount really, but I think what we've built today is really easy to manage and easy for anyone, whether it's me or my team, or like next week we have a new salesperson coming in, so he can just plug in to this process that we've built. So what I want to do here is I'll just go really quickly through the sequence of how our sales process works on Restaurant Engine. And so at a high level, I'll do the sequence, and then I'll fill in some of the gaps in like the technical details. And then from there, we'll talk about Carthook and right. Get into your case study.
Going from 1.0 to 2.0. And the only thing I just want to point out to people listening is to note how real life is messy. That phone calls and demos and Skype calls and emails and all this stuff happens all at once. And that's the real challenge that we're talking about. Totally. It's relatively easy to say, let me set up a landing page that captures email addresses and then sends out these triggered emails and then makes an offer and let's see.
And then you go sit on a beach somewhere and the thing just runs itself. I mean, come on.
Right. That's cool, but that's not what's happening. And it's not us. It's not just Bootstrap. It's everybody.
Yeah.
Right. I looked into a product called SalesLoft. These guys have grown ridiculously over the past year. It's a SaaS for salespeople, right? I wanted to ask them about one of their tools. Demo. Real salesperson, a living human being, emailing me saying, hey, let's set up a demo. Here's a link. Here's a time. Let's jump on Skype. Let me show you my screen. So it's not just people who are kind of scrapping to get any lead possible. This is the way people are doing it. And that's why it's more complicated than it looks.
Even at scale, larger companies still doing that personal touch and that personal follow-up or live demos or whatever it takes. And I mean, you know, it's so easy for us to look at any of these popular SaaS products or successful product businesses out there and look at their website and be like, oh, it's so simple and streamlined. And there's the sign up button and that founder must be off living the good life right now. Look, I mean, behind the scenes, there's so much manual legwork and following up, and but you know, going from that like kind of a mess to a systematic way that even if you have to take a day off or bring in someone new to take over that role, it's done in a predictable fashion. So that's what the goal is here for this episode, to just help you start to think about that as a goal. I mean, everyone's business is completely different, as you'll see between our businesses, you know, so you can't exactly apply exactly what one of us does to what you're doing, but you can understand what that goal is to get everything funneled into the same track and get us all on the same, going in the same direction so that we all end up at the same station at the end.
Yeah. Document what you can, establish the processes for what you can, but you should know, regardless of how unique your business is, you can do it. You just have to deal with some pain to figure out what the contours of your sales funnel actually look like in real life. You don't have to jam it into a purely online, fully automated fantasy sales funnel.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you if you can do that. The truth is the majority of people will not be able to accomplish that.
Yep.
Cool. So let's take a look at what you've done with Restaurant Engine. And let's hear you kind of run through what you're talking about here, what the system is and then the technicals.
Yeah. So Restaurant Engine, this is basically the process that a a visitor goes through as they go from visitor to lead to customer. And I actually detailed all of this in a post that I wrote last year on my blog called A System for Selling. And that's where I detail every aspect of this. And it's even got like a technical setup guide if you want to try setting up some of these pieces. So anyway, starts with visitors coming to our website. We've got a number of traffic sources. Most of it is organic. And visitors get to a consultation form. So every call to action, everything that we're doing, we're kind of pushing visitors toward that button, request a consultation. That takes them to a form on our website where they can fill in their details. And we actually ask for quite a bit of that on that form, like their name, restaurant name, email, phone number, website if they have one. Then they answer a couple of things like, are they interested in online ordering? Are they a food truck? Are they an established restaurant? Are they a startup restaurant? So these are all like key information that we need to know. They fill in that form, hit submit. And what happens from there is that form is connected to our Trello. And Trello is what we use as a CRM. And so we have like one big board in Trello, which is our CRM. A card is created for every new lead. We kind of call them lead cards in Trello. And all of that information that they filled in on the form is then copied into the card in Trello in the description. We do that using Zapier. So one person on my team, whoever's running the sales at any given moment, will go into Trello on a daily basis and go to that first list, incoming leads. And they just go through that list. And those are the people who need to be called today or tomorrow, like new inbound consultation requests. That person calls them up, and we have procedures in place for them to follow up with every new lead. So if we get a voicemail on the first day, we'll follow up the next day, and then the next day. And then once you do connect with the person, we move the card over into the next list in Trello. And we have a couple of these lists, like stages that they get through. Basically, inbound lead, attempted first contact, didn't connect, and then connected with the person, and then they're looking promising, like they're showing interest, and they say that, yes, we'll probably sign up soon. We'll put them into a new list, and then they either sign up or they disappear or they say they're not interested. So the salesperson will manually call them up and then send an email follow-up after every phone call, and then they'll manually write their notes in the card for that lead in Trello. What did they talk about? What are the things that they asked about and whatnot? They also set a due date on our card so that the salesperson is reminded to follow up, whether that's to follow up tomorrow or follow up next week. Meanwhile, in the background, starting from the day that they requested the consultation, that form is also integrated with Drip. So we'll start an email campaign to anyone who requests a consultation. And that campaign is, it includes a couple of different case studies from customers. It includes some of like the key benefits or like highlighting certain features. And these campaigns are actually tailored based on what the person entered in that consultation form. So if someone specifies that they're a food truck, one of the case studies that they're going to get is one of our food truck customers. If they specify that they're interested in online ordering, they're going to get an email all about how online ordering works and some of the key benefits there. So this stuff is kind of, they're receiving this Drip campaign kind of in the background while our sales team is calling them and following up personally over email. After usually like two or three touches with the customer, they'll hopefully, you know, decide to sign up, and that either happens with the salesperson over the phone. So literally our salesperson just fills in our sign up form for the customer, enters their details, gets it over the phone, or, the customer will come back to our website and sign up. They'll get to the sign up form and they'll create their account. At that point, the customer and all their details are then handed off to our support team, and they begin setting up the customer's website. So, and they'll also reach out to the customer and initiate with them like, hey, you know, My name is Kate, and I'm ready to, and I'm here to help you set up your new website. Here are the list of things that we need to get from you, like your food menu, your Facebook page, and whatnot. And then they just take it from there. And now the customer is a paying customer, and they're being serviced, and it's all working. So that's the basically the process. And now some of the details. So I mentioned those consultation forms on our website. Those are powered by Gravity Forms, which is a plugin for WordPress. Pretty powerful. You can do a lot of cool things with Gravity Forms. That is connected to Trello, and we use Zapier to connect those two. And that makes it easier to take all the entered information from Gravity Forms and put it into Trello. There's also a connection between Gravity Forms and Drip, and that's how we connect those two. What else? Oh, and we also use Help Scout for all of the email follow-up, even sales emails. So
yeah, this I found fascinating.
Yeah, so like we don't only use Help Scout for support, we also use it for sales. So we have two email inboxes. One is support@restaurantengine.com, and the other is info@restaurantengine.com. And the info one is kind of like our sales line or sales email inbox. So when our team is following up with leads, so like every time they call them, they'll send an email follow-up. Here's what we talked about, by the way, and here's the link to sign up whenever you're ready. They do that from Help Scout for a few reasons, but mainly, you know, it's easy to number one, every person on our team can kind of send emails from info@restaurantengine.com. This way, sales conversations are not kind of like locked up in one person's email inbox. We all have access to this stuff. The other thing that is nice is that like Help Scout, you can have a URL that points right to that conversation. So when my team and I are talking in Slack and someone has a question, like how do I answer this customer's question? They can just ping me with the link to the Help Scout conversation. I just click it and take a look. And then I might write a note in Help Scout, like right on that conversation. So it just makes it really easy to collaborate within one inbox.
Yeah, it makes it, everything's trackable. It's all in the same place from the very beginning of the relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't depend on one person's inbox. So you can use it when the person's away or anyone could jump in on it. And it's shareable. It's like the semi-public, you know, if the person leaves the job, can't do it anymore or something, it's, you don't lose that information. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, and then once the lead becomes a customer, then it's also really easy for my support team to grab the stuff that they were talking about in the pre-sales conversations. They can grab all that information and all the details and kind of like port it over to the website setup and as they get them started on the service. So like all of that information is like streamlined and just passed along from one side to the next.
And then from then on, once they become a customer, you're emailing them using support at just different
yeah, yeah, email. Exactly. And cool. The other thing is we use Slack internally to talk to each other. And so when a customer signs up, I have some automation in place to automatically ping my support team in Slack. So they get a message as soon as someone signs up so that they can quickly initiate that setup and get them going pretty quickly.
Right, that way it's not lingering and no one needs to constantly check the email inbox to see if anyone new has signed up. It's that important of an email that it should be looked at right away. Right? It's not like it's happening 100 times a day.
Yeah, because at that point somebody has just paid and they're expecting to get going quickly. And if that email gets lost or if that takes too long, then...
First experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
And so yeah, that's basically it. So now should we shift over to Carthook and see?
Sure. Let's just embarrass me. Why don't you, after we talk about your automation and slick integrations? And
I should say, though, I mean, number one, it has taken us over 3 years to get to this point, and there were plenty of... messy details and problems along the way that led to figuring out, oh, we need a way to have all these little things in place. And then number two is, even though we have these systems in place, they absolutely still break down from time to time. Like,
right.
You know, it's very easy for a salesperson to miss a day and then follow-ups are not being made, you know, or, you know, just like that kind of stuff happens. So
Right. You can eliminate the human element as much as possible, but you're still dealing with humans.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's great to hear more of those details and see them right as I need to transition. Right. I think I'm at where most people are that are running their business on their own. It doesn't make sense to over-systemize and over-complicate this process when it's just one person. So I do use a CRM, right? It's not like I'm only using everything in email. So I'll describe my situation. It's relatively simple. I use one-page CRM, and everything goes into there. So it's good in that it's centralized. It's one place. It's bad because it's not organized and everything is lumped in into the same category. So yes, I can choose different statuses. This person's a customer, but it's pretty obvious that what I owe or what I told or what I hope to take the next action for a paying customer who's been around for 6 months, who said, "Hey, Jordan, can we jump on the phone? I have a question." That should not be lumped in to the exact same process and system as someone who started their free trial and is 2 weeks in, or someone who just downloaded a lead magnet and I should follow up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is interesting because your business is different. You're running a SaaS, which is, it's kind of in a way, it's more of a traditional SaaS model in that you have a free trial. And that, yes. So in a sense, like your free trial is kind of like my consultation request.
Yes. That like starts, right. That's,
it,
that's
could
the
define
point
that
at which
this person is a lead.
Yes. This is a real lead, not a prospect, someone who downloaded something or an email address or something like that. This is actually like, yes, a free trial, I think, is the typical point. So even if Cardhook is more of a traditional SaaS situation, it's still ridiculous to think that everything's going to be done in an automated way or through email.
Right.
Like anyone who wants to get on the phone, anyone who wants to do a demo, like you're not going to say no. So if that's what's going to happen, then this is what I need to build now. This 2.0 version needs to be able to handle these things where I'm not doing everything, right? Everything right now is going through jordan@cardhook.com. And I'm responding, I'm following up with people, I'm reaching out to people cold, I'm emailing existing customers, and now that I want to be kind of unleashed to be able to do marketing activities all day, all right, I hired someone to do sales, I'm going to bring on this co-founder to do a lot of this other stuff. It doesn't make sense for me to do everything.
So I have a couple questions for you. I mean, number one, is there any step before the free trial that you would consider like a pre-sales step? Like, I mean, maybe it's right now it's just people emailing you questions about it before they sign up or...
So there's, I have a lead magnet on the site, like on the homepage that people download.
And that's educational. That's like a free gift kind of thing, right?
Yes. Give me your email address. I use a sample campaign. So it basically is just a good looking PDF document that shows what Cardhook looks like, what the email looks like, why certain things are in the email are a certain way and why they're important. You know, why it's important to send an abandoned cart email within the first 60 minutes and why it should be this way or that way. And then a little bit of my contact information.
Once someone does that, it's still kind of like they're still in like automation mode. Subscribers, they're getting stuff from you, but they're not necessarily very
now,
warm or hot leads at this point.
Exactly right. And that's why I lump those people in with the same exact in the same bucket as if somebody emailed me and said, "Hey, I saw your Mixergy interview. I'm interested in using Cardhook." I see that as the same thing because all it is, it's somebody raising their hand and saying, "I'm interested." So now the goal is to get that person into a free trial. Once they're in a free trial, totally different process. That's
right,
what you and I talked
about.
But
I think there should be a separation there, right? Like there. So someone who just downloaded the free lead magnet.
Yep.
May or may not really be serious about signing up for Cardhook. They might just be looking for best practices with abandoned cart emails, looking to learn something for free, which is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
But someone who emails you, saw you on a podcast or something, and they're saying they're interested, that should be a lead that they get followed up with.
right now I have them lumped into the same bucket, but I agree that it's like the separation is almost between sales and marketing. And marketing is generating these prospects who are interested in content, who are interested in cart abandonment in general and e-commerce in general. And what we're trying to do is push them into actually raising their hands and saying, I'm interested in cart hook specifically.
Right.
And that's when they can be kind of lumped into the same category as someone who emailed and said, I'm interested in using cart hook.
Yeah. Okay. And then so currently, when somebody signs up for the free trial, what happens from there today?
From there, it goes into the next goal is to launch their free trial. So now we're talking onboarding, which is something that we have we spent a lot of time on the past few weeks, and right now our onboarding is a lot better. It's not great, but it's good. And so when someone signs up for a free trial, our version of activation, right, which is just to say more likely to become a paying customer, is launching their abandoned cart email campaign. And in order to launch, you have to put in some information that's required in order to send an email on your behalf. You have to set up your campaigns, those emails that go out, and then you have to complete the integration with your site. So once they start a free trial, then the goal is to activate or launch the campaign. And then once they launch, then the goal is 30 days later to turn them into a paying customer.
Okay, so all those steps, activating, installing the code, setting up the email templates, they're doing that themselves, or are you calling them, or are you emailing them, or?
It used to require more manual work on my end and shifting them from one status to another, and but that is half automated and will be almost entirely automated, because so in order to launch a campaign, we're having that be entirely self-serve, so someone can do everything on their own to launch.
I mean, I know that they can do it themselves, but do you still reach out to them to make sure that they're getting everything they need?
Yeah, you have to.
So how do you do that? Are you sending an email or calling them, or what are you doing?
I'm sending an email. I'm sending an email that right now is manual, but can very quickly be automated. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is getting into more of the details of what needs to be set up, but
right
Segment.io and these event-based triggers that can lead either using GetDrip or using customer.io, those are the lifecycle emails that are currently manual and will be automated over the next few weeks.
Cool.
Right. So when someone signs up right now, I send an email that basically says, thanks so much for signing up. I'm Jordan, the founder of Cart Hook. I saw that you signed up, and here's my contact info. I'd love to talk if you're available. Here's my Calendly link. And then we can check up to see how they are in the process.
Yeah.
And then if they launch, then I basically write back. So that's the manual part. It would be silly not to follow up with someone if they don't launch their campaign.
And then
they've gone so far.
And then what happens after that? Like, let's say they're activated, they've set everything up, they're running, they're still on the free trial.
Yes.
And then I guess the next hurdle is are they actually getting abandoned carts saving abandoned carts, right?
Exactly right. So we want, instead of just not communicating for 30 days and then at the end saying, so what do you think? Do you want to sign on? We proactively send an update once a week saying, here is your performance after 1 week of running Cart Hook. Here's your performance after 2 weeks. Here's after 3 weeks. And just a heads up, next week when I follow up for the fourth time toward the end of the free trial, I foreshadow that on the fourth one, I'm going to say, I want you to jump on board as a paying customer. So I just give a little bit of a warning that next week will be the last one before the free trial ends.
Are you in the free trial? Are you getting the credit card info up front or after the 30 days?
After the 30 days, which is not what I would recommend to most SaaS businesses, but because I see Cart Hook as a drug dealer in effect, let's say, I want them to taste the good stuff.
Do you have any issues with just too many signups that are like kicking the tires or just not serious, or they sign up and they disappear?
Not to the extent that it's a problem or an issue. Yeah, because to go through the process, you have to have an e-commerce store. You have to integrate. You have to go through a certain amount of friction to launch. So people who launch, you know, they're real potential customers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So all this stuff that we're talking about, I see as relatively straightforward. Like, yes, certain events should trigger certain campaigns, and I have no idea how to do that, but other people do, and I can pay them to do it, right? So whenever someone signs up, that should trigger one campaign. As soon as they complete setup, it should trigger a different campaign. Right? The truth is, if they complete step one of three, a different email should be sent. If they complete steps one and two, but not three, a different one. So you can get as granular as you want.
Yeah.
But that stuff I see is relatively easy. The tricky part is before the free trial, the stuff that you have such a nice system built out for.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think a CRM really comes in. You know, I think that post free trial, a lot of that can be automated. And that's not to say that, post free trial sign up. They're not a customer yet, but they're in their free trial.
Yes.
A lot of that can be automated with the drip campaigns, whatnot, like based on their behavior inside the app and all that. But that's not to say that you should not still manually reach out to certain people in the free trial, of course.
But that maybe even that like reminder.
Fire events to you
yes.
to say,
yes.
All right, this person needs help, call them now.
Exactly right. It should not rely on memory or actively checking something to see how many weeks into the free trial are they. It should be, right?
Yeah.
The fourth update email was just sent. Send me an email or ping me in Slack or something to that effect to say, if they don't respond, if they don't put in their credit card info, then send this email template or call.
Yeah. Or like a certain sequence of events happened or they failed to happen, which should give you an alert that says this person is at risk of leaving or whatever.
And, right. Yeah. Yeah. I heard recently a founder talk about their process. As soon as anyone signs up, they get a phone call. That's it. I love that. Right. So all it would mean, it wouldn't mean anything actually, because during our setup process, we take the phone number on step one. So as soon as step one is completed, right, I should get notified that there's a free trial. And then when step one is completed with the phone number, I should get an email or a ping or notification of some sort. And I should just pick up the phone right there and say, hey,
call.
I saw you signed up. Thanks so much. What can we do for you? How can I help?
Yeah, exactly.
Foreseeable future, you know, I can do that.
Yeah, totally. And even in the future, you can have a person who gets that ping instead of you know.
Right.
Okay, so, but there's that other piece before the free trial.
Those are leads.
That's where I think the CRM really comes in.
CRM, yes, but there are a few things that happen that make it confusing. So I love the suggestion on using Help Scout. Because one of the biggest issues I have is how do I get everything out of my email address? Out of jordan@cardhook.com is to have absolutely everything go through there is, you know, it's getting a little unreasonable. And so getting that activity out sounds like a great idea in using Help Scout to have an email that's more like for the team. That's good. I think the difficulty I have is, for example, yesterday I wrote a post on an e-commerce forum. I got three leads out of it. You know, that's great, but I got an email saying, hey, I saw your post, I'm interested, right? Or one person just signed up. Now I need to get that into the CRM so that it goes through the same process as everybody else. Instead of me just emailing them back and forth and manually putting them into the CRM and then setting a next action.
So a random email comes in, they found you wherever, a forum, saw you on a podcast, doesn't matter. They send you an email. You receive an email. That can get forwarded right into your CRM. I mean, almost every CRM has like an email inbox that you could forward the email to so that they're getting tracked. And the way that I do, so like sometimes, so with Help Scout, sometimes customers send me directly questions that are customer support questions.
Right. What do you do?
I forward it directly to support@restaurantengine.com and that goes straight into Help Scout and then my team takes it.
So as long as you don't feel the need to personally respond.
Yeah. And if they, if it's something that I want the sales team to respond to, then I'll forward it to info@restaurantengine.com. And then it gets into Help Scout as a ticket. And if it's urgent, then what I would do is I would forward it into Help Scout and then grab the Help Scout link and ping my teammate on Slack and say, hey, this person needs a reply today. Here's the link to that email.
Very nice. Okay, I looked at the Help Scout just for support, but I didn't think about doing it this way.
I should mention there are a lot of help desk tools out there that all pretty much do the same thing as Help Scout these days. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are as nice as others, but there are a group of really nice ones that I think what I love about it is that it's invisible to the customer. You know, they just see an email, and that's what I love about it. Whereas like, I can't stand it when I hate to shit on Zendesk, but whenever a customer uses Zendesk, it just, I mean, a company that I'm a customer of uses Zendesk. It's like,
yeah, you have to deal with it instead of just.
I have to have a login to there just to submit my question. It's so annoying.
Is that what it is? That's strange. So that, yeah, regardless, you know, Help Scout will send a bill to for all the publicity, but what we're saying is to centralize the email communication in Help Desk software, but not just for support tickets, also for just communication in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like having the separation though between like two mailboxes inside Help Scout. So I would not want to mix pre-sales questions, leads and stuff with our queue of paying customer support questions. That's why we separate support@restaurantengine.com and info@restaurantengine.com.
Yeah, I like that because I feel that already in having them everyone lumped into the same thing. It's, you know, a paying customer that's been with us for 10 months asks a question like that. That's a priority. It should be treated differently.
Yeah. And again, like that's how we separate it. But in reality, things get messy. Like a lot of existing paying customers will remember us from the pre-sales days and they would email us at info@restaurantengine.com or brian@restaurantengine.com. And then I need to just move that conversation back into support where it belongs. You know, like, but you can move conversations around inside Help Scout and the customer doesn't need to know what's going on, you know.
And I'm guessing you can have little tags that you can say, you know, pre-sales or paying customer.
Tags.
Or not, status.
Not really tags in Help Scout. So, yeah.
Or like, notes of some sort.
The nice thing about Help Scout and viewing a customer in Help Scout is that it on the right column, you have a link to all previous conversations with that customer. You know, regardless of what mailbox they were in. So it's very easy to look at today's email that you received from them and say like, okay, there were these five emails from the past couple of weeks. And it's easy to jump in between them. And you could even like merge conversations and stuff like that. But yeah, like tagging customers, like we do that inside Drip to make sure that they're getting the right campaigns and emails and whatnot. Yeah.
Cool. And then the last piece that I would ask you on, I see a separation between marketing and sales, and I'm trying to figure out where they merge onto the same track, right? The easy place is at free trials, regardless of whether they came in through a blog post or they came in through a cold outbound email. Once that prospect turns into a free trial, everybody that starts a free trial should be treated on the same track in the same way with the same process. It's before that still kind of needs to be figured out. So an outbound sales prospect kind of needs to get handled differently until the point where they get into a demo. And some people will have a demo and some people won't. Some people just sign up for a free trial without talking to us. Some people do the demo. And so that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like these separate buckets and processes for each thing. Well, so
I mean, I do try to standardize that to one bucket for everyone. And for us, that's getting to the consultation. But we have a lot of different pages on our website and like different things that are interesting to different people. We do offer a video demo, like a 25-minute long, let me walk you through Restaurant Engine and how the main things work so you can take a look. On that demo page, we have our consultation form along the right side. As you're watching the demo, you can request your consultation. So we actually have like two different forms, two different pages. Like some customers will just go straight to a consultation and that's like a very stripped down request your consultation form. And other customers will be interested in that live demo. So they'll go to the demo page, but there they can request their consultation. And then both of those forms feed into the same Trello.
So CRM. that sounds like the right goal in terms of simplifying things.
Yeah, and it's, then like the
whatever
other thing
happens.
There's actually a third one now. We're starting to do some like targeted campaigns and whatnot that point to a consultation landing page, like optimized, for ads and whatnot. And that's like a third form, which again just funnels people into the same place.
Right. Well, that sounds like a reasonable way to think about it, where whether it's an outbound campaign, a Facebook ads campaign, a nurture sequence from a lead magnet, you do want to point all of those towards your conversion points, whether that's a demo, a consultation, or a free trial. Because the truth is, you might make both offers to the same person. I know in the sample campaign, that lead magnet, I offer both.
Yeah, I mean, why not? And then
why not? Like, here's a free trial.
So we
link.
Have a little bit more automation going on, like in Drip. Once someone views our demo, which by the way, we ask for their email address to begin watching that demo. It's optional; they can skip past it, but most people don't. They enter their email address, they start watching the video demo. And then, what is it? Like if they watched the demo, but they did not request the consultation, again, they have that consultation form right alongside the demo. If they don't fill out that consultation form, then from Drip, like 2 days later, they're going to get an email saying like, hey, did you enjoy the demo? Can I answer any other questions?
Right, so.
And now this brings up a good point because we get a lot of like replies to that. They'll just reply to that email and be like, yeah, I'm interested. I have a question about something. Can you call me? Or we'll get random people coming to our contact form and just saying, I need a restaurant website. Can you help me? Or we get people on our live chat saying, I'm interested. So they don't necessarily make it to the consultation form, but they're reaching out to us. They're saying, hey, talk to me. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's those that throw me off. What do you do with all these different things that come in?
It's simple. We just manually, we reply to them and we say, if they haven't given us their phone number yet, we'll say like, yeah, sure. Like, here's our phone number. Tell us what your phone number is and we can talk to you like today or tomorrow. And at that point, my team would then create manually their card in Trello. So now they're into our system and now everything else kind of falls into place. It doesn't matter how they, like most people come in through the consultation form, but maybe 10-15% just come in randomly and then we just manually add them in.
So it's just dealing with these random edge cases and pushing them toward the process that you want them to go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like it'll take a little self-training, right? Someone just responds and my instinct is to just like, engage and start emailing them back and forth. And the truth is, even if I want to do that first, they still need to go into the process.
Yeah. And, however the most efficient way to do that is like maybe as you're emailing, you can BCC your CRM so that they get in that way. Or if you manually do it, you can do it that way. Whatever works. And then over time, like what we've started to add is like, actual procedures that we all follow and then email templates like that will email responses based on which stage in the sales cycle, like which follow-up step we're on. We have different email templates that we use and then we'll like my team is instructed to tailor those based on what you've been talking about with the customer.
Yeah, that's, you know, canned responses in Gmail. That's an unbelievably useful feature.
Yeah, and same feature in Help Scout, you know.
Right. Yeah, I have so many of those. You know, and you know, the common questions, the common objections, you know, like BigCommerce already has an abandoned cart thing built in. Why would I use you? You know, mm-hmm. It's like, instead of writing out those three paragraphs every time, just save it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It sounds like an asset to build up over time.
Totally.
And that's the only way things are going to work if on a bigger scale. Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to kind of working on this and then maybe talking about it in a few months' time and saying, okay, this is how things kind of shaped up, and these are the tools we used, and this is what's working, and this is what needs to be improved.
Yeah, absolutely. So should we wrap it up there?
Yeah, I think we should. I think it's something that a lot of people deal with. There's a lot of tools out there. It's hard to fit exactly into your business, but if you got to do it, then you got to find a way to do it. So thanks, you know, for sharing how you have figured it out. So it's nice to kind of be inspired by the fact that it can be done regardless of how complicated or unique your business is.
Yep. So as always, you should head over to bootstrappedweb.com, and that's where you can get it on our email list, and so that you can get notified when we have a new episode come out. We do our best to get them out every Thursday. Sometimes I'm late and we get it out on Friday, but and if you're enjoying the show, please head over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and leave us a note. Tell us what you think. We really appreciate it.
All right, Brian, take it easy.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Later, Jordan. You too.
Later.
Yeah.